guys, and welcome to Otsom Premier League. We have the third match day this weekend before the international break, and we have Ton Rennie to analyse all the games. How are you, Ton?
I'm doing well, and as a supporter of the best team in the Premier League, which makes us the best team in the world, West Ham, I'm very happy today. Our first and only, probably ever show together where West Ham are top of the table. So let's all just enjoy it.
Yeah, maybe also the next one. Who knows? 6 points for West Ham. I saw that you enjoyed a lot the atmosphere also at the London Stadium where it took place, that great victory against Leicester City. So let's see what you have for us this week, because I have to say that we had some comments last week, and I also encourage everyone to ask you any questions and to comment the video with us, and of course to press on the like button, that they say, wow, you wouldn't, why would you say exact correct score in the Man City Norwich? Tom said, yeah, Asian handicap 3, Asian handicap 4 for Man City, actually 5-0 result, nailed it. Lukaku to score, Chelsea to win, nailed it. West Ham to win, nailed it. Tom, good so week. Let's go.
It's been a good time. I'm enjoying the start of the season. I'm making some money.
Exactly, you are on fire. I want you always in my team. So let's start with the games we have on Saturday, and starting with the game we have in the Etihad. Good game, Man City. Arsenal Gunner supporters can be very, very happy, because yesterday actually they saw the first victory of their team this season, 6-0 against West Brom. But the bad news is that that was in the League Cup, a competition probably that no one pays really attention to it, because in the Premier League, Tom, they can go to the international break with no points, actually, because the first two games were two defeats. They have not scored a single goal yet this season. And, of course, they play Man City. And apart from what is going on the pitch, they got the first victory against Norwich. Also, of course, we are taking a look at the transfer market and see if they can manage to grab a striker, a number 9.
Yeah, I mean, starting with Man City, last week I tipped them to beat Norwich 5-0, and the odds were 12-1 I got on the day when I actually put my money on it. There was a few variants, but I just had a feel for 5-0, so I went 5-0 with my real actual money. So I made a few quid, but not as much as I would have liked. Should have bet on the day we recorded. That was my mistake. Always go with your gut at the time. 5-0 this week is 21-1. 21.0, however you like to look at these things. I quite fancy it again. I fancy 5-0 against Norwich. I fancy 5-0 against Arsenal. Look, I just watched the highlights of the West Brom game from last night. I didn't watch the game in full. You know, second round Carabao Cup. We're all busy. But West Brom changed 11 players. West Brom of the Championship were like, it's not really worth our time, this. Because the Carabao Cup at this point, I don't know what it is. Now, who does know what it is at this point? Arsenal went into it to try and rebuild and regain some confidence. West Brom went into it hoping none of their first team players got injured. It's crazy. The second tier teams are the ones resting the players, and the top tier teams are the ones playing their first teams. I don't know. We're in the upside down at this point. But Arsenal did get some confidence from that game. Sure, Aubameyang scoring a hat-trick, important, because I thought he was atrocious when he came on against Chelsea last week. You could say it was a COVID hangover, and I have some sympathy for that. But look, he's not been very good for quite some time now, Aubameyang. So I hope this gets him back into some of that sensational form we saw 18 months ago. Lacazette came in and scored, but as we know, they simply cannot play together. Arteta won't play them together, so it'll be one or the other. I imagine Aubameyang replaced by Lacazette around 70 minutes, as usual. But look, the Arsenal defence is the big problem. That's the big problem they have. Kieran Tierney, sick note, continually injured. Another knock last week. Is he fit for this one? It will be a doubt. At this point, a thigh injury, he's got a 70-odd% chance of playing. I think they probably will try and risk him, and he will get injured during the game. Right back, who plays there? That Tavares, nowhere near up to it. Callum Chambers, not a right back. Hector Bellerin wants out. What do they do? I don't know. And at centre-half, Pablo Mari, goodness me. I mean, how many times did he not learn the lesson? Don't go touch tight to Lukaku. It took him 90 minutes, and I still don't think he learned it. And Rob Holding is a meat and potatoes centre-half. Gabriel coming back, is he going to be fit enough to play in this game? I don't think so. I think he's still ruled out. And Ben White, he may well come back from COVID, but again, you just don't know about his recovery time. So look, defensive issues for Arsenal, midfield issues for Arsenal, a couple of their offensive players back. It ain't going to make a difference against Man City, who beat Norwich last week. They could have done it with seven men. Like, it was so easy. They didn't even need a back four. It was pointless. So I think City will have 80% possession. I think City will have 25 shots. I would be looking at City to win all the over markets. City to win and over 4.5 goals in the match at 4.5 is quite interesting. If you want to hedge your bets a little bit, but I would go all City goals. I'd be looking at 5-0 and lumping on City in all different sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm. If we check the Asian handicap market, a good one, of course, to worth checking right now. Man City Asian handicap -2.5. We have odds 2.85, for instance. So they have to win with 3-goal difference to get our money. Actually, if I don't remember badly, last season, Arsenal only lost 1-0 at the Etihad.
Yeah. Different world, mate. Last season was a very different world. We're in a different place in many ways now. And Arsenal have somehow got worse.
Exactly, somehow, yeah. Our next game in Villa Park, Aston Villa Brentford, great comeback, great debut of Brentford in the Premier League. 4 points in the first two games, no goals conceded. That's positive. They got a point at Selhurst Park with that goalless draw, whereas Aston Villa, 3 points for them after the victory 2-0 against Newcastle, with Danny Ings scoring again, his second goal in two games for Aston Villa. I guess the good news for Aston Villa is that they keep scoring, Tom, 4 goals in only two games. No Grealish, but still some party.
Yeah, Villa have been good. They've been good to watch. They were battered by Watford for 60 minutes or so in the opening week of the season. And I think from that point, they started turning it on. 10 more minutes of Vicarage Road, they may well have got back in that game. But the first hour, as Dean Smith said post-match, their manager, we were awful and I won't accept that kind of performance again. Fast forward a week, we didn't get that performance again. They were fantastic last week. Offensively good, defensively strong. And that Danny Ings goal. I mean, that is already going to be the goal of the season. There's nothing better than a bicycle kick that hits the laces of the boot and goes in. So sumptuous and delicious. It was like cream on top of custard, on top of jelly, on top of all the sweet things that you love. It was so gorgeous. And he is a tremendous striker, Danny Ings. If he can get 25, 30 games this season for Villa, they will be top six contenders. If he gets an injury that keeps him out for 20 games, they will slip down into that 6-11 bracket. But at the moment, he is fit. He's 6-1 for the first goal. That, I think, is probably your safest bet of the weekend, Danny Ings to score. There's all sorts of doubles up for Danny Ings to score and Villa to win. I did see one this morning on Oddspedia, which was Danny Ings to score and Villa to win 3-1 is 100-1. Now, I'm not recommending doing bets like that because they are crazy first-timer bets, but that's got to be worth a pound. And I mean, that's a pound. You know, this is not the kind of thing that's going to build your fortune. It's not the kind of thing that's going to make you a lot of money over the season. But sometimes these little special bets come up, these little doubles, and you think, okay. I would back that with a Villa win, standard Villa win. You can do Villa with a handicap of -1 around 4-1, which is quite nice. I think Villa 2-0 is a pretty solid bet here. For Brentford, you know, they were fantastic in the Arsenal game. But again, you have to take the Arsenal game with all the caveats of the Arsenal team, the atmosphere, the COVID issues Arsenal had, all of that sort of stuff. And they didn't take their chances last week against Palace. And we're not at that point yet where newly promoted teams start to struggle. Usually that's 10 games in. I still think Brentford are going to be okay from what I've seen so far. But last week, there were just a couple of little signs of, hold on, we're playing a Premier League team here. And I think at Villa, away from home, packed Villa Park, I can only see a comfortable Villa victory. And I don't see Brentford scoring, truth be told.
Then Lyle is asking us, Brentford clean sheet again. You already replied to that. Not because you also think that Ings will strike again. And that was another question that Lyle was asking you. And you actually agree with Harry. Villa to win, odds 2.06. If you think it's going to be a 2-0, for instance, odds 2.95 for Aston Villa Asian handicap, -1. Another option here in a packed Villa Park, as you mentioned. And then we go to the south coast of England to see Brighton Everton. Great start of the season for Brighton. 2 games, 2 victories. 2-0 against Watford, the first one. 1-2 at Turf Moor against Burnley. Also, they signed Cucurella, a player that I like pretty much, actually, from Getafe. And Everton, they got a draw in Elland Road against Leeds after taking the lead twice. 4 points for Benitez with his Everton. Richarlison in danger. They say he might leave Everton. That would be a huge blow, I guess, if this is true. For the Toffees, but good start for Benitez. And actually, we can see the odds here. Tom, good odds for Everton.
Yes, I mean, interesting odds in terms of they're broadly even, around 2.5, around 3 for both teams, depending on where you get your odds this morning from Oddspedia. So they're all broadly the same. I think they probably make Brighton ever so slight favourites because they played so well in the opening couple of weeks. And I did their game against Watford last week and they played fantastically, fantastically well. Look, they're a team that have always been good at football, right? They love the ball. They love to keep the ball. They love to pass the ball. They love to try and create opportunities on the ground, slipping the ball through to their offensive players. The trouble is their players have not been quite good enough offensively to create multiple chances in games to win. But what's happened is suddenly they've become clinical. I think they had like 3 shots last week against Watford, scored 2 goals, and Aaron Connolly missed a sitter when he should have made it 3. They've become a team that are deadly. They become a team that take their chances when they come. That'll make a massive difference for Brighton because defensively, they're very, very strong. Shane Duffy's come back in to replace Ben White. He was on loan at Celtic last season, had a few personal issues. Scored the first goal last week, always a threat from corners. One of the big men of the Premier League over the last few years in terms of winning things like that. And defensively look good. So Brighton look in good shape. They look in good shape. And in midfield, when you've got Pascal Gross, Adam Lallana, Leandro Trossard, Yves Bissouma, good footballers. They do not give you the ball back easily. And also got good combative players in there as well. Bissouma can tackle and Mwepo, they just bought, can tackle as well. So tough place to go for Everton, who, you know, last week I thought that was the game of the weekend before West Ham's thumping of Leicester. Certainly Saturday and Sunday, the game at Elland Road between Leeds and Everton, that was Premier League football. If anyone ever asks you, what's the Premier League all about? Watch that game. It was sublime. Lots of tough tackling, lots of winding each other up. Tremendous goals. Rubbish goals, a penalty, a VAR call. When Calvert-Lewin took the penalty, some bloke took his shirt off and started whacking his great big fat belly to put him off. You know, all the good stuff you want from a Premier League game at Elland Road. And Everton survived it and they got through. Now, Rafa says he needs a long time to build what he wants from this team. That wasn't a Rafa Benitez performance at Brighton, which means for the moment, Brighton are still going to be worth, are still going to be worth watching. So I actually think there's an interesting market here on both teams to score. I think that you're looking at Brighton and both teams to score around 5-1, around 6-1. I would pick Brighton of the two. I go with most bookies and think they are slight favourites here, but add a bit of spice to it, both teams to score.
Okay, also Lyle is telling us actually both teams to score. Harry is going for the draw, odds 3.4 for the draw, but you are going for Brighton, then two teams that have started pretty well the season, Brighton and Everton, two teams that we said at the beginning of the season that they might struggle. And we've seen this so far in these two games. Newcastle, Southampton in St. James's Park. Newcastle, 0 points in the first two games and also out of the League Cup after a goalless draw against Burnley. They lost against Aston Villa. They lost at home 2-4 against West Ham in their first game in this Premier League. Whereas Southampton, they surprised us picking up a point against Man United. A few people thought that that was possible. But in their debut away from home, they lost against Everton, actually, 3-1.
Yes, I was very surprised last week that Man U didn't go on to win against Southampton. Very surprised. You know, I always back, as you know, with Man U away right now. Concede and win. It nearly happened again. There's so much money to be made in that market still. Last year, it was always 10, 12, 15 to 1, and they kept on doing it. We'll get to that later. But with Newcastle right now, let's start with them. Offensively, they are looking like they can create chances. So that's a good thing for Newcastle. If you're looking for positives, you've got to try and find some positives. So Maximan and Wilson are fit. They are playing. They are creating. And last week, they lost against Villa, but they still created chances. Callum Wilson missed one sitter. They did get a penalty, which was rightly overturned for a slight offside, but they did create. So I expect them to still be on the front foot and still having some confidence, Newcastle, in the way they're playing. Forget about what happened in the Carabao Cup in midweek. So many changes. You know, I'm not even sure half the teams that played this weekend even went to the game, let alone know the score in what happened. So I think this is a story of two goal scorers, right? One is Callum Wilson and one is Adam Armstrong. These are proper centre forwards bred in the lower leagues of English football that have come to the Premier League. Now, Callum Wilson's established himself. Adam Armstrong, I think this season, will establish himself from what I've seen so far. So I here would be looking, firstly, at the draw market, because I think it's two teams that want to get a point. That's what they want, a point on the board. So point on the board. Draw is around 3.5, 4 to 1. Both teams to score, but Wilson and Armstrong to score is quite a nice double. You can get Wilson, first goal scorer at 5 to 1. Armstrong, last goal scorer at 6 to 1. Double that up with a 1-1 draw. Money to be made. It's convoluted. It's complicated. But I just can't see either of these teams winning. And these are the only guys who can score.
Both teams to score 1.74. And actually, Harry's telling us that this is a coin toss and it's quite difficult to predict this game in St. James's Park. Let's see if it's easier to predict your favorite Premier League team, Norwich City, playing again at home against Leicester City. So silly mistakes that the Foxes made at the London Stadium. Yeah. This past weekend or on Monday, 4-1 down, and also Jose Perez being sent off with an atrocious tackle in the first half. But remember that at least they got the first 3 points of the season when they beat Wolverhampton at home in the opening game. And Norwich, what to say? No goals scored, 9 goals conceded, looking pretty bad.
But tough teams, right? They had Liverpool in the first week and they had Man City the second week. So I'm happy to give Norwich the benefit of the doubt in terms of being able to win some games this season because of what they've played so far. However, I mean, all season, I'll advise all of our viewers this. Don't back Norwich. Don't back Norwich. Never back Norwich. You may well 1 week win big on Norwich because no one ever thinks they're going to win. But I just wouldn't recommend it. And I would stick with that recommendation this week. I was at the game Monday, West Ham against Leicester. Leicester were very poor, even at 0-0. They were very poor at 1-0. They were worse when they went down to 10 men. Did score a half-decent goal in terms of the build-up, but there was still a bit of luck in the way it fell to Tielemans for it. In general, they were obliterated by West Ham, who looked ready for this season. Leicester, less so. Defensively, Soyuncu, what has happened to him? How good was Johnny Evans making Soyuncu look? Awful. His passing's awful. His judgment's terrible. Him and Amati at centre-half, there are big doubts there. The good news for Leicester is that they're facing Norwich. And again, who is going to score for Norwich? Temu Pukki is not a Premier League striker. How many times do we need to have this conversation? Rashica has looked okay in a couple of games. He's a good ball player. But again, I don't see it. I don't see it in this team. Todd Cantwell, I think I'd like to see him play with better players at some point in his career. Otherwise, it'll end up being the new Darren Huckabee. There's a reference for your 90s kids. So look, in this game, only go Leicester win. The odds are quite low on Leicester win, as you can imagine. To win away from home in the Premier League is not usually around 1.5, which is what you'll get this morning. If you're looking for exact scores, again, I never really like to go exact score, but 3-0 is 17-1. So in the over 2.5 market or exact score 3-0 or above, 17s is quite good. A Leicester goal handicap is what I'd be looking for, maybe -2.
Actually, it's not that bad the odds for Leicester right now on Odspedia. We have 1.95 around 2. So it's not that bad as well. If we go for Asian handicap, for sure we find odds above 3. Then from Norwich, Leicester, let's talk a little bit about the leader of the Premier League, the best team so far in the British Premier League, West Ham. Playing at home against Crystal Palace after that great victory against Leicester City. 8 goals scored in only 2 games. Michael Antonio already 3 goals for him, whereas Palace, they picked their first point and no goals scored yet this season. Yeah. And also, by the way, they lost also in the League Cup against Watford, also without scoring a single goal in these 3 first games, Brentford, Chelsea. And what for? Everything happens in London for Crystal Palace so far in this season.
There was one amazing stat about Crystal Palace, which is worth bringing up to people because it is so amazing. Since they last scored a goal in a cup competition, Man City have scored 108 goals in cup competitions, which I just thought was astonishing that I saw this week. And of course, knocked out, as you say, by Watford, didn't score a goal. Unbelievably. Let's start with West Ham. Obviously, I went on Monday against Leicester. I thought they were fantastic, as I mentioned to you previously. The Antonio, Benrahma, Bowen link-up is fantastic. Pablo Fornals, we've spoken about him before. didn't see this jump in quality coming from Pablo Fornals, if I'm honest, 2 or 3 years ago when he first came in. But he's playing at number 10 at West Ham and everything runs through him. You know, he's combative. He'll get stuck in. He plays intelligent passes. And his first goal against Leicester, that first time left-footed kind of helped the ball in, was fantastic. And so going forward, West Ham looked good. Sojic and Rice in midfield looking like they're getting fitter and stronger. And the back four looks good. I'd expect Kurt Zouma to be signed today, which should mean he should be able to play this weekend. He's fully fit, though I'd imagine it'll be Ogbonna and Dawson still. So all that coming together and you think, yeah, West Ham look pretty decent. However, they have struggled against Palace in recent years. Lost this fixture last season. They've lost this fixture a fair amount in recent times against Crystal Palace, who have been a bit of a bogey team to them. But I just don't see it this time. I think Palace are still struggling to find that identity. I think they were poor creatively last week against Brentford. I think they were trying to stop Brentford more than trying to score against them. First game at home against under a new manager, that's not good enough. So I think West Ham will win. I think West Ham will win by more than two goals. I'd be looking at the over 2.5 maybe. 3-0 West Ham is an interesting market here. You can get Wilfried Zaha and Mikko Antonio to score. Double that up around 11-12-1 this morning. That's quite interesting. Zaha always scores against West Ham. And Mikko Antonio, still fit as far as I'm aware. He's in the best form he's been in of his life the last 18 months. So if he remains fit, I would maybe be looking at that market. Potentially both teams to score and West Ham to win as well is another thing I'd be looking at. But West Ham all over for the win.
Govinda is telling us actually Antonio anytime goal scorer and Envano, as you said, also Hammers is a handicap minus 1.5. The odds we have for that is 2.76 right now. So they have to win for two goals difference then to win our bet. And they actually agree with you, Tom. And then our next game.
Smart viewers. They know their stuff.
Of course. They know. Let's see. The next game is the best game we have in Europe, actually, this weekend for sure. Liverpool-Chelsea, and I think it's going to be a good test to see how good Liverpool is this season, because they had an easy start against Burnley and against Norwich, but these kind of games, actually, they lost them last season, especially against Burnley this time. 2-0 for them, so two games, no goals conceded, five goals for Liverpool, whereas Chelsea, same pretty much thing, two games, two victories, no goals conceded. What to look at in this clash? We see that Liverpool is favourite, although I'm tempted to think that Chelsea is a better team right now.
I mean, slight favourite, you know, 2.6 to 3 is very slight, I think. So I'm surprised by that. I wonder if that might change when team news comes out and things change building up to the weekend. The Anfield factor probably brings that down a couple of notches. Mm. The funny thing about these games, when we have these conversations, is that the big games, the ones that are really hard to predict, which I think this is, are not great markets for gamblers. You know, this is not the kind of game that I would bet on. I'd have a fun bet on this, but there's nothing I would give you confidently because I can easily see Liverpool running away with it. I can easily see Chelsea scoring a goal from Lukaku and shutting it down for 1-0. Every scenario for me currently feels feasible. And so what to pick out is quite difficult. The draw market's interesting around, 3.5? I think that's quite interesting. Draw on both teams to score is quite interesting. Salah and Lukaku both to score in the same game, around 7-8-1. That is reasonably interesting. Look, on the teams, Liverpool haven't had much of a test so far. Norwich is a pre-season friendly and Burnley basically gifted them a couple of goals from Jota's opener around 20 minutes in. Burnley really didn't offer a great deal from that point and Liverpool cruised two victories. This is the first big test of the fitness of Matip, the fitness of Van Dijk. The midfield for Liverpool would be a big concern for me. He's tried a couple of variants now, but Henderson, Keita, Harvey Elliott from last week, I don't think that midfield beats Chelsea. So what comes in? Oxlade-Chamberlain was away last week having a baby. Does he come back in? Is he fit enough to play 90 minutes in a game like this? You know, there's question marks there whether Liverpool have a strong enough midfield of fit players to be able to compete with Chelsea, who last week didn't need N'Golo Conte from the start to play Arsenal off the pitch, right? So that'd be my concern. And often these games are won in midfield, though the front three of Salah, Jota and Mane, very, very good. As for Chelsea, I thought they were just dominant. Utterly, utterly dominant against Arsenal last week. It was a brilliant performance. It's a brilliantly built squad. It's a brilliantly managed squad. You know, the squad is so good that I don't think a single Arsenal player from their first team last week would have got on the Chelsea bench. That is how good this squad is. So I'm surprised they're not favourites. Again, avoid this. Avoid this, I would suggest. If you're having a fun bet, I would be looking at the draw, both teams to score market. But this is going to be incredibly, incredibly tough to call.
It's very difficult, and the odds are very similar, actually. We see the outright market, of course. Govinda is he's saying this might be a draw, 3.58. Also, if we take a look at the goals market, it's pretty much the same, over 2.5 goals, pace slightly more than under, but both are around 2.0. And also, Govinda is telling us double chance for Chelsea, since Chelsea is the underdog for this game. It's also a good option, odds 1.64. Four double chance for Chelsea. Tough one at Anfield, but a very interesting one to see in the long run how these teams perform to put a fight against Man City for the title. Then on Sunday, we have three games, starting with Turf Moor, Burnley, Leeds. Leeds favorite, odds 2.4. But they've only collected 1 point in these two first games. But it's true that they had tough opponents, Man United and Everton. Whereas Burnley, no points for them. They might struggle again this season to stay in the Premier League. And also they will struggle to score goals. Only one goal scored in these two first games. But it's true that they also travel to Anfield, which is not an easy ground, of course.
Again, different world this season from last season, as everyone knows. But I did this game last year when Leeds won 4-0 and they played Burnley off of the park. They were fantastic back end of last season. Burnley just don't change. They don't change. They cannot attract players to Burnley Football Club. They simply don't improve. And at some point, I feel like they are going to come a cropper with not changing this team. And I think maybe this is the season. They're going to really struggle for 30 points across the season. As for Leeds, you know, I mentioned earlier the Everton game was fantastic. The Man United game, you know, that could have easily been 5-5. They got on the front foot but didn't defend anything in the game. So they will make defensive howlers, Leeds. That's the only way Burnley score in this game. But for me, the attacking and offensive qualities of Leeds United will come to the fore. I think that with Calvin Phillips getting fitter and fitter and fitter, with Mateus Klich in midfield as well, they might drop one or two of them a little bit further back against Burnley to try and be more solid, opening 20, 25 minutes, get past the adrenaline rush, go on to win the game. I see Leeds winning. I see Leeds winning comfortably. Leeds winning to nil. I'd even be looking at handicap scores here. Leeds at -2, around 11, is quite interesting. I see Leeds big winners.
Okay, you see Leeds favourites. And Vano is actually not agreeing with you. Well, Lyle is saying that Burnley to win, but the truth is that it was a long time ago when Burnley was good at home. Not even last season, they were strong enough at Turf Moor, and they lost the first game against Brighton, also at home and at Turf Moor. So from two teams that started poorly the season to Tottenham. What a surprise, Tottenham. They are also on top of the table. They are keeping Harry Kane, which is, of course, the best news they could dream off in this start of the season, and also 6 points for them after beating Wolverhampton, as you also predicted, I have to say, and after beating Man City in a Nuno's fashion, we can say 1-0 and 1-0. They are playing also the Conference Cup tonight against Paços Ferreira, whereas for Watford, 3 points for them at home, but their last game was a defeat against Brighton.
Yeah, look, Tottenham are a good team still. They're a good team with good players. And Nuno is a very competent coach. It's not entertaining, but he's very, very competent. And competency is such an underrated quality in football and in life. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to organise a football team. I think Harry Kane will come back in for this one from the start. He came on against Wolverhampton Wanderers last week. And that may well upset the trio of players that have played so well together in Bergwijn, in Moura, and Heung-Min Son. It will shunt Son back out wide, and it will see Kane coming into that number 10 role, number 9 role, you know, playing essentially that central striker in various positions. For Watford, I thought they were desperately disappointing against Brighton last week. All that offensive energy and buzz and zip they had against Villa was gone, and it was quite a disjointed display, actually, against Brighton. I think they struggled to get the ball, and when they got into offensive positions, Emmanuel Dennis offered nothing, Ismail Assar offered nothing, Ken Sema offered nothing. And I was a bit worried about Watford, which I wasn't previously, and I haven't been going into the season. But I think maybe there is a little lack of Premier League quality there. Players like Ismail Assar need to up their game in games like last week if he wants to get in a move elsewhere, let alone a good season for Watford. And he didn't quite look up to snuff last week, I thought. So Watford are going to try and go into this game and defend. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I can only see Tottenham winning. I can see Tottenham winning comfortably. A goal handicap, Tottenham, is what I'll be looking at. -2 is about 4.5 to 5. -3 is around 10 to 1. I see a big Tottenham win. Plus, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is around 2 to 1. Harry Kane, first goal, banker of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Govita is telling us Son, anytime goal scorer, in this case, Kane's couple on the pitch. Matlit is telling us a surprise for Watford, actually. Watford will amaze you guys. Try Asian handicap +1 or +1.5. Of course, Tottenham is really favorites. If you back Tottenham to win 2-0, something that have happened in the last 2 weeks, odds are 2.3. Also, another option for the Spurs. Yeah. And then we are talking about Nuno Espíritu Santo. So let's talk about his former team, Wolves. They had a bad start of the season and they have a bad host in the last game of the weekend. Man United, 0 points for Wolverhampton. And this is going to be Solskjaer number 100 game on the bench for Man United. And I saw the stats, Tom, and you will tell me if it's good or not, because they say in the stats that only Man City and Liverpool have won more points since Solskjaer took the job at Man United, but the difference is huge. It's Man United 184 points, whereas Man City 224 and Liverpool 223 points. So I'm not sure if this is a good stats or bad stats for Solskjaer.
It's a fantastic stat if you're not Manchester United, right? It's a fantastic stat if you're Aston Villa or you're West Ham or you're Everton or, you know, insert team here. Man United should be in the conversation with those teams. And they're not in the conversation with those teams. And they seem to be getting let off not being in that conversation, despite the fact they spend massive money. They spend massive money on players. You know, they can moan about oligarchies and sovereign wealth funds and all that sort of stuff. And that's fine. You know, there is an issue there for them trying to catch up with those clubs with all that money. But they have it and they spend it and they keep on not competing. So it's another year where they're going to be battling for third. So it's not good enough. But you can see what they are trying to do. You can actually see it. But it's then a case of now winning 30 games this season and seeing what you can do with the final eight, right? And they've already dropped 2 points away at Southampton, who are going to be in the bottom five. So disaster there. Again, I tip this every week and I'll stick with this tip. Man United to win from behind, away from home. Go for it every week. Until this pattern stops happening, it's worth doing every week because it's happened so regularly and you get it at 10 to 1. So 10 to 1 you can get on various markets this morning for Wolves' first goal, Manchester United to win. They're around, 2 to 1, slightly under Man United to win. That's fine. You know, Man United are going to win this game. I feel quite confident Man United are going to win this game. But if you want to make it interesting, look at the come-from-behind market. Maybe even pick out a first goal scorer for Wolves. The trouble is, that's maybe the toughest thing in the world right now. Who is going to score a goal for Wolverhampton Wanderers? Stop sending Adama Traore through on goal. Like 2 weeks running now, one of them with the goalkeeper, his finishes have been pathetic. I want Raul Jimenez to be back to what he was as well, and my fingers are crossed for him, but I'm not seeing much from him so far. Arthur chance last week that went over the top. So Wolves don't seem like a team currently that know how to score, though they are a team under this manager, Bruno Lage, that seem to want to attack. But they've got to go Nuno for a game like this, right? They've got to defend against a team like Man United. I'm not sure that is this manager's style from what I've seen so far. That plays fully into Man United's hands. So, Man United win, bet number one. Man United win and both teams to score, bet number two. Man United to win, having conceded the first goal, is my star bet. 10 to 1, take it.
Yeah, even more right now, 12 to 1 I'm seeing. So 11.0, Man United to win away, Wolves. They are close, actually, to get another Portuguese player. What a surprise, no? Gonzalo Guedes, who was good once upon a time, maybe 3 years ago, but we haven't seen him in playing good for Valencia for 3 years right now. But he's Portuguese, and I'm sure there is an agent who knows a lot Wolves and Gonzalo Guedes who can bring him to Wolverhampton. Then, Tom, thank you. Perhaps you have a knack, no, to finish.
I do. And I don't usually go for a lot of teams, as you know. I normally go threes and fours. I found one for around 20 to 1 this morning, which I thought was quite interesting. Manchester City, they beat Arsenal. Brighton beat Everton. That makes it interesting. Leicester win at Norwich. Away win in there. West Ham beat Palace. And Burnley lose against Leeds. Leeds to win at Turf Moor. That's two away wins. That's one slight upset win. You get that around 20 to 1.
Okay, five selections this time. Then time for us to place our bets and enjoy the international break with some interesting games. Thanks, Tom. And let's enjoy Premier League. Enjoy West Ham being on top. And yeah, thanks, guys, for commenting the Premier League with us. And of course, you can still leave a comment in the video and telling us your tips. And of course, press on the like if you like our videos, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications so you can know when Tom is gonna tell us his tips. Tom, thanks and see you very soon.
See you next time.